Good afternoon. This is All India Radio, and I'm Vaibhav Varma with the midday news. Besides the news, we have a capsule on health and medicine. First, the headlines. Government increases minimum support price of Rabi crops. Wheat raised by 20 rupees, pulses by up to 380 rupees per quintal. Centre extends benefit of Rashtriya Swasthya Bima Yojana to street vendors. Welfare scheme for pregnant and lactating women to be implemented on pilot basis in 52 select districts. Enemy property bill with amendments cleared for introduction in the forthcoming session of Parliament. Karnataka High Court hears petition on disqualification of 11 BJP MLAs by Assembly Speaker. All set in Bihar for tomorrow's first phase Assembly polls. Britain gears up for its biggest ever reduction in budget costs. And in cricket, India take on Australia in the second ODI at Vishakhapatnam. The minimum support price, MSP, for Rabi crops for 2010-11 has been raised. Briefing media on the decision taken by the CCEA, Home Minister P. Chidambaram said MSP for wheat has been increased by 20 rupees per quintal to 1,120 rupees.
Wheat from 1,100 to 1,120 per quintal, an increase of 20 rupees. Barley, rupees 750 to rupees 780, an increase of 30 rupees. Gram, rupees 1760 to rupees 2100, an increase of rupees 340 per quintal. Masoor, rupees 1870 to rupees 2250, an increase of rupees 380. Rapeseed and mustard from rupees 1830 to 1850, an increase of 20 rupees. Safflower from rupees 1680 to rupees 1800, an increase of 120 rupees per quintal.
Mr. Chidambaram said the prices of other oil seeds belonging to the rapeseed mustard group will be fixed on the basis of their normal market price differential. The Cabinet has given its nod for extending the Rashtriya Swasthya Bima Yojana, RSBY, to street vendors. The scheme is presently meant for families living below the poverty line. The government proposes to cover all registered street vendors by 2013-14. 4.21 lakh street vendors are proposed to be covered during the current financial year itself. Our correspondent says that according to the last census, there were over 42 lakh street vendors who form an important segment of the unorganized sector. 75% of the premium of the insurance scheme will be paid by the centre and 25% by the states. In case of northeastern states and Jammu and Kashmir, the expenditure between the centre and the state will be in the ratio of 90:10. The total expenditure by the centre during the current year will be 20 crore rupees, and the recurring expenditure after 2013-14 will be around 200 crore rupees annually. Our correspondent says that the beneficiaries under the RSBY are entitled to get up to 30,000 rupees for most diseases which require hospitalisation. The scheme has been operationalised in 24 states, and more than 1.95 crore smart cards have been issued, covering more than 7 crore persons. The Cabinet Committee on Economic Affairs has given its green signal for implementation of the Indira Gandhi Matritva Sahyog Yojana. Under the scheme, each pregnant and lactating woman will receive a total cash incentive of 4,000 rupees in 3 instalments. This will be between the period from the second trimester of pregnancy till the infant attains the age of 6 months. Briefing the media, Home Minister Mr. P. Chidambaram said the scheme to be implemented on pilot basis in 52 select districts in the remaining period of the 11th five-year plan will be fully sponsored with 100% assistance from the centre.
This has been implemented on a pilot basis in 52 selected districts at a total cost of 1,000 crore. We will use the existing ICDS infrastructure and staff. It is a centrally sponsored scheme with 100% assistance in the centre. 390 crore rupees will be allocated in 2010-11 and 610 crore in 2011-12. It will be implemented in all the Anganwadi centres in the 52 selected districts.
Mr. Chidambaram said 13.8 lakh pregnant and lactating women are expected to benefit in the initial years. The scheme will be applicable to pregnant women of 19 years of age or above for the first two births.
The beneficiaries would be pregnant women of 19 years of age or above, and for the first two live births. Each beneficiary will be required to open an individual account in the nearest bank or post office for the cash transfer. It will be implemented by the state through the existing state ICDS cell. Anganwadi worker and Anganwadi helper will receive an incentive of Rs 200 and Rs 100 respectively per pregnant and per lactating woman after all the due cash transfers to the beneficiaries.
Mr. Chidambaram said all employees of the government, public sector units of the centre and the state will be excluded from the scheme as they are already entitled to paid maternity leave. The Cabinet has given its approval for the introduction of amendments in the Enemy Property Act of 1968. Briefing the media after a Cabinet meeting, the Union Home Minister P. Chidambaram said fresh amendments which were placed before Parliament in the last session will be incorporated in the new bill. Our correspondent reports that the bill seeks to empower the government to dispose of properties in India of those who left for Pakistan in 1947. The amendments will have retrospective effect. Ahead of the winter session of Parliament beginning on November 9th, Lok Sabha Speaker Meera Kumar has called a meeting of leaders of political parties in the lower house today. The meeting is aimed at facilitating greater interaction with members and for smooth conduct of business. Expressing concern over the frequent stalling of proceedings in the Lok Sabha, Mrs. Kumar said those who frequently disturb the House constitute approximately 4% of the total strength of the House. She said disruption of the proceedings is, in essence, tantamount to violation of the rights of 96% of the members who want the House to function smoothly. The Supreme Court today dismissed the petition filed by notorious poacher Sansar Chand, challenging his conviction and 5-year sentence in a case of smuggling animal parts. The poacher had appealed against the ruling of the Rajasthan High Court, which had found him guilty of smuggling claws, skin, teeth and other animal parts in Bhilwara in 2003. An apex court bench comprising Justices Markandey Katyu and T.S. Thakur did not find merit in the appeal filed by Sansar Chand, who has been booked under dozens of cases under the Wildlife Act. The Supreme Court has ruled that commuters have a fundamental right to use roads without any impediment and asked the government to put in place by June 2011 a suitable law to regulate the activities of street hawkers and vendors in the national capital. A bench of Justices G.S. Singhvi and A.K. Ganguly, however, said it equally recognized the fundamental right of street vendors and hawkers to earn their livelihood, but the same should be subjected to reasonable restrictions. The apex court also noted that the burgeoning population has resulted in rapid urbanization, but there seems to be no restriction placed on people purchasing any number of cars, three-wheelers and scooters. The apex court said a suitable law on the issue was required, as ad hoc policy measures lacking statutory backing cannot serve the purpose. Chief Justice of India S.H. Kapadia has said that the emerging economy has taken the country into the age of regulatory mechanism, which requires tribunals and commissions to exercise their jurisdiction carefully without venturing into each other's territories. Speaking at a seminar in New Delhi, he said the tribunals and regulators in India are still at a nascent stage and would have to take important decisions avoiding overlapping of their respective jurisdictions. Justice Kapadia, who said commissions, regulatory authorities and tribunals would have to play an important role in view of the growing economy, stressed the need for experts to head such quasi-judicial bodies. Over 75,000 foreign tourists arrived in the national capital during the Commonwealth Games. According to the Tourism Ministry's data, the foreign tourist arrivals in Delhi Airport during the 1st to the 14th of this month stood at 75,606. The ministry had earlier projected that about 1 lakh foreign tourists would visit the capital during the games. On an average, about 5,000 to 6,000 foreign tourists arrived daily at Delhi Airport during the games. A maximum of 7,527 tourists arrived on the 2nd of October. In Kolkata, metro rail services have been severely affected due to derailment of 3 bogies of a train this morning. According to official sources, the incident occurred during busy office time, around 9:30 in the morning, near Central Metro Station. A Garia-bound train from Dumdum suddenly derailed while it was entering Central Station. Our Kolkata correspondent reports that the passengers were detrained with the help of a ladder after putting off electrical connections on the rail track. There is no report of any injury or casualty. Efforts are on to repair the rail track. Metro Rail Authority has ordered an inquiry into the incident. The Madhya Pradesh government has endorsed the state's new industrial promotion policy. The policy offers 50% jobs to locals in the industries which will seek benefits from the government. Our Bhopal correspondent reports that the new policy will come into effect from the 1st of November and will remain effective for 5 years.
Under the new policy, there would be condition of providing 50% employment to the local people by the new industries set up in Madhya Pradesh. This condition will be incorporated in the MOUs to be signed with them for establishing new industries. Now, arrangement for providing salaried and regular employment to one member of the family whose land is acquired for the industry concerned will be made on priority basis. An industrial development infrastructure fund will be established for removing financial difficulties in industrial infrastructure development. Sharik Noor, IR News, Bhopal.
Civil Aviation Minister Praful Patel today said a decision on infusion of 1,200 crore rupees equity in Air India is expected to be taken by next month. Speaking on the sidelines of a function in New Delhi, Mr. Patel said a cabinet note has been moved for infusion of 1,200 crore rupees as equity in India, in Air India. He said the airline has already taken a number of steps to reduce costs. The government has already provided 800 crore rupees of the 2,000 crore rupees which it has pledged to provide the state-owned airline. In reply to a question on Navi Mumbai Airport, Mr. Patel asserted that it would come at the proposed site and the clearance will be given next month. This is All India Radio giving you the news. The main stories so far. Government increases minimum support price of rabi crops, wheat raised by 20 rupees, pulses by up to 380 rupees per quintal. Centre extends benefit of Rashtriya Swasthya Bima Yojana to street vendors. Welfare scheme for pregnant and lactating women to be implemented on pilot basis in 52 select districts. Enemy property bill with amendments cleared for introduction in the forthcoming session of Parliament. Still ahead, Karnataka High Court hears petition on disqualification of 11 BJP MLAs by Assembly Speaker. All set in Bihar for tomorrow's first phase Assembly polls. Britain gears up for its biggest ever reduction in budget costs. And in cricket, India win the toss and elect a field in the second ODI between India and Australia at Vishakhapatnam. And a capsule on health and medicine. The Karnataka High Court has taken up the hearing in the case relating to the disqualification of 11 BJP MLAs by the Assembly Speaker. Justice V.G. Sabhahit is hearing the submissions made by lawyers representing the disqualified MLAs. The hearing by Justice Sabhahit as third judge was necessitated by a split verdict delivered by a division bench comprising Chief Justice J.S. Kehar and Justice N. Kumar on Monday. The disqualified BJP MLAs had moved to the High Court, challenging Speaker K.G. Bopaya's decision to disqualify them under the anti-defection law after they withdrew their support to the Yediyurappa government in Karnataka. Elaborate security arrangements have been made for the first phase of assembly elections to be held tomorrow in Bihar. 47 constituencies spread over 8 districts of Madhubani, Supaul, Araria, Kishanganj, Purnia, Katihar, Madhepura and Sehersa will go to polls in this phase. Chief Electoral Officer Sudhir Kumar Rakesh told AIR that observers and micro-observers have been appointed to ensure free and fair polls. He said over 1 crore 7 lakh voters will decide the electoral fortunes of 631 candidates, including 52 women. Meanwhile, State Director General of Police Neelmani said jawans of central paramilitary forces are being deployed in all booths for peaceful poll. He said the state's border with Nepal and West Bengal have been sealed to prevent any infiltration of anti-social elements. AIR correspondent reports that there is no wave in this election, and there is a triangular contest on almost all the constituencies which go to polls tomorrow.
The first phase of polling is considered crucial for both Nitish Kumar and Lalu Yadav. In last assembly elections, while NDA rested 33 seats, RJD owned only 5 seats and Congress 4, NCP, CPI and CPI-ML got one each. Two independent candidates were also elected. The NDA has mustered all strength to retain its seats. On the other hand, RJD-LJD alliance and Congress are trying their best to increase their tally. The mood of voters will decide the political fortune of these parties tomorrow. Krishna Kumar Lal, AIR News, Madhubani.
Araria district bordering Nepal in Bihar is witnessing a triangular contest in all six assembly constituencies. AIR correspondent reports that NDA had wrested all seats in the last elections.
BJP won 4 and Janata Dal United 2 seats in the last assembly election. But this time, NDA candidates are facing challenge from RJD, LJP alliances and Congress. 3 sitting MLAs of BJP and 2 of Janata Dal United were denied party tickets. Muralidhar Mandal, sitting MLA of Janata Dal United, is contesting as a rebel candidate from 60 assembly constituency. Altogether, 80 candidates, including 5 women, are in the fray. The former Minister Sarfaraz Alam contesting on Janata Dal United ticket from Jokihat. The district was unaffected after delimitation. Sudan Sahay, AIR News, Araria.
Congress has released another list of 5 candidates for the 6-phased Bihar Assembly elections commencing from tomorrow. The names of the candidates were announced in New Delhi by the Central Election Committee of the party. The candidates include Anil Kumar Trivedi, who will contest from Buxar, while Mrityunjay Kumar Singh will be the nominee from Nabinagar seat. 5 persons belonging to separate political parties were today arrested on the charge of influencing voters by distributing cash in Madhubani and Muzaffarpur, police said. 4 LJP activists were arrested while trying to influence some voters with cash at Benipatti in Madhubani district. A case was registered against the LJP nominee S.K. Singh for Benipatti Assembly constituency. In another incident, Lal Babu Sharma and aide of BJP nominee Veena Devi was arrested and 2.32 lakh rupees seized from his campaign vehicle at Gosnagar village in Muzaffarpur district. Veena Devi is contesting from Gaghat Assembly constituency. The Cabinet has approved amendments to the Seeds Bill 2004, aimed at regulating the quality of seeds and ensuring their availability to the farmers. According to an official release, this will help in checking the sale of spurious and poor quality seeds, increase private participation in the production and distribution of seeds, and liberalise imports of seeds and planting materials. India-Oman relations are poised to touch a new high, with defence and security cooperation to be the focus of discussions. The two countries are also scheduled to discuss all aspects of bilateral relations with an emphasis on trade, enhancing trade and investment. Omani's Foreign Minister Yusuf bin Alawi bin Abdullah will hold detailed talks with his Indian counterpart S.M. Krishna this evening on regional and multilateral issues of mutual interest. Briefing reporters about the 3-day visit of Abdullah, the spokesperson of External Affairs Ministry Vishnu Prakash said continuous high-level contact between the two countries is bound to add new dynamism to the relations. Bhutanese King Jigme Khesar Namgyal Wangchuk is arriving in New Delhi today on a 9-day goodwill visit, during which he will meet the Indian leadership and discuss a host of important bilateral and regional issues. A statement from the Bhutan Assembly said in New Delhi that the King is scheduled to meet President Pratibha Patil, Prime Minister Manmohan Singh and Minister for External Affairs S.M. Krishna. In Nepal, the unified CPN Maoist, the largest party in the Constituent Assembly, has expressed satisfaction over the progress made by the high-level task force formed to iron out differences among the parties over the contentious issues relating to drafting of the new constitution. Our Kathmandu correspondent reports that Maoist Chairman Prachanda is heading the 7-member high-level task force as its coordinator.
Out of 11 thematic committees of the Constituent Assembly, only 3 have submitted their concept papers to the Constitutional Committee, the key constitution drafting body. To speed up the process of drafting the new statute, a 7-member high-level task force consisting of representatives of major political parties was formed recently to iron out differences among the parties on contentious issues of the concept paper and submit a report to the Constituent Assembly by 24th this month. Even though Constituent Assembly has said May 2014 2011 as the new deadline for completion of the task of framing a new constitution, the political parties remain deadlocked over the formation of a new government. C.K. Dorji, AIR News, Kathmandu.
British Chancellor of the Exchequer George Osborne is preparing to reveal the biggest programme of cuts in the UK for decades in his long-awaited spending review today. Average budget reductions of 25% to most departments are expected, alongside welfare cuts following months of negotiations with ministers. Reports suggest nearly 5 lakh public sector jobs will go by 2014-15. Yesterday, 8% cuts to the defence budget were outlined separately in the Strategic Defence Review. Mr. Osborne has already announced plans to stop child benefit payments to higher rate taxpayers. France braced for another day of public sector strikes and protests today against unpopular pension reforms, which are expected to be put before the Senate for a final vote later this week. Trade unions riding a wave of voter support are pushing to force President Nicolas Sarkozy to retreat on plans to lift the retirement age from 62 to 60. So far, the government has stood firm even in the face of a fuel shortage caused by striking refinery workers. India has won the toss and elected to field in the second ODI against Australia in Vishakhapatnam today. After the series opener was washed out in Kochi, the three-match ODI series has now been reduced to a two-match affair. The weather is bright and sunny at the Dr. Y.S. Rajashekhara Reddy Cricket Stadium today. Clark leads the Australian squad after regular skipper Ricky Ponting, all-rounder Shane Watson and pacer Mitchell Johnson were rested from the series. And now news from the world of health and medicine.
Hello and welcome to this edition of Health and Medicine News. I am Pradeep Kumar. Osteoporosis is a disease characterized by low bone mass and loss of bone tissue that may lead to weakened, fragile bones. If you have osteoporosis, you have an increased risk of fractured bones. Osteoporosis is silent, but the drastic consequences of osteoporosis are visible in the lives of millions of sufferers worldwide. Every year, 20th of October is observed as World Osteoporosis Day. In 2010, the focus of the World Osteoporosis Day global campaign is on spinal bone health, with the main theme, Don't Miss the Signs of a Breaking Spine. Our correspondent Siddharth Singh spoke to Dr. Kumar Anshuman, joint replacement surgeon. First, he tells us about osteoporosis in detail.
Osteoporosis is a disease characterized by low bone mass and deterioration of bone tissue. This leads to increased bone fragility and risk of bone fractures, particularly of the hip, spine and wrist. Osteoporosis is often known as silent thief because bone loss occurs without any symptoms.
Dr. Anshuman explained the reasons for osteoporosis and who are at great risk of the disease.
Reasons can be varied. Basically, after the age of 50 years, everybody is at risk of osteoporosis. And females usually after menopause are more at risk of osteoporosis. Roughly 200 million people are above the age of 50 years, of which 20% are of women and 10% are men.
Generally, it is seen that mostly women suffer from this disease. We asked Dr. Anshuman about the reasons for this.
In females, there is a hormone called estrogen, which is very much useful for bone formation. After menopause, this estrogen hormone drops drastically, which leads to bone resorption. So there is weakness of the bone and there is more chances of osteoporosis and fractures in females after menopause.
Dr. Anshuman also tells us how osteoporosis is diagnosed.
Very simple method of diagnosis is getting an x-ray done of the spine, wrist and affected joints of the body. Secondly, it can be done with another better scan, which is known as DEXA scan. Apart from the routine studies, which are the normal hemogram and calcium level, phosphorus level examination of the body.
We spoke to Dr. Ish Kumar Dhami, senior orthopedic surgeon at GTB Hospital. He talked about lifestyle modification and exercise to improve physical activity to overcome osteoporosis.
Exercise program should be compatible with their bone fragility status. It improves bone strength, muscular performance, joint flexibility, and decreases the risk of fall. Walking, jogging, chair climbing, bicycling, water aerobics, chair exercises are certain very important physical activities and exercises. They should be done 4 times in a week for 45 minutes. Reducing the caffeine and alcohol intake and quitting the smoking.
Dr. Dhami also told us that we should take high protein and calcium diet for osteoporosis patients.
There are certain important things. One is protein. One should increase the protein intake. Protein supplementation should be increased in form of soya proteins, pulses, milk, eggs, fish, chicken. Calcium and vitamin D supplementation should be taken properly. The calcium-rich foods are milk, at least 3 glasses per day or 3/4 liter per day, cheese, yogurt, green leafy vegetables, banana, dried fruits, nuts, pulses, peas, etc.
Around the world, there are countless people who need hospice and palliative care and cannot access it. Hospice and palliative care is the name given to physical, psychological and emotional care given to people suffering from life-threatening illnesses. Every year, the second Saturday of October is observed as Hospice and Palliative Care Day. A series of events were organized in the capital by Delhiite's National Initiative in Palliative Care, DNIP, a group working for creating awareness for palliative care. We spoke to Mr. K.V. Hamza, General Secretary of DNIP Care, about the theme of this year.
Palliative care is an attempt to provide a quality in life for long-term bedridden and terminally ill patients. And hospice care is for the patients who are at the end of their life. This year's World Hospice and Palliative Care theme was sharing the care. We try to curb the emotional isolation of the patients, and we try to provide psychosocial support and also possible medical support. Our psychosocial support includes the food support also, monthly food ration to the families of the patients who have been devastated by when their main breadwinning member falls ill.
Dr. Hamza also tells us about the need for more volunteers for hospice and palliative care.
Many volunteers are required for this thing. What we appeal to everybody, be a volunteer for this, rendering this palliative care. And there are as many roles to play in palliative care. And the volunteer means those who are having a hurt to hear, to understand the patients, and to empathize with them. That is more than enough to qualify to be a volunteer. And whatever time, if it is, even if it is 1 hour or 2 hours in a month, that will be more than enough if everybody is trying to give some kind of relief for this kind of patient. So our appeal is, it is not only our organization, but in your own localities, you can find, identify patients and provide some kind of comfort to them, which is required now. Especially when the nuclear families are there, nobody is there to look after the patient.
That wraps up this edition of Health and Medicine News. Now let's get back to the news studio.
That was news from the world of health and medicine. Tomorrow at the same time, you can listen to a news feature on the social sector. And now the rest of the news. Two top former U.S. officials have urged President Barack Obama to endorse India's bid for a permanent seat in the U.N. Security Council. Former Deputy Secretary of State Richard Armitage and former Under Secretary of State for Political Affairs Nicholas Burns also urged the President in a report to remove ISRO from the entity's list and stop asking New Delhi to join NPT as a non-nuclear state. A 200-year-old tunnel has been unearthed by workers of the General Post Office, GPO, in its compound at South Mumbai's Chhatrapati Shivaji Terminus. Postal Services Director Abha Singh said that for decades the flag-hoisting ceremony is conducted at this spot, but it was never known that there was a tunnel. And before we close, the headlines once again. Government increases minimum support price of Rabi crops. Wheat raised by 20 rupees, pulses by up to 380 rupees per quintal. Centre extends benefit of Rashtriya Swasthya Bima Yojana to street vendors. Welfare scheme for pregnant and lactating women to be implemented on pilot basis in 52 select districts. Enemy property bill with amendments cleared for introduction in the forthcoming session of Parliament. Karnataka High Court hears petition on disqualification of 11 BJP MLAs by Assembly Speaker. All set in Bihar for tomorrow's first phase of Assembly polls. Britain gears up for its biggest ever reduction in budget costs. And in cricket, India win the toss and elect a field in the second ODI between India and Australia at Vishakhapatnam. For details of these stories and more, you can log on to our website newsonair.nic.in. With that, we end the midday news. Our next bulletin in English can be heard at 4 p.m. on the Rajdhani and FM Gold channels.